This meeting is now being recorded.
Great. This is Ram Mohan, and this is the final conference call of the Technical Study Group on Access to Non-Public Registration Data. Today is 23rd of April, Tuesday, and it's 1600 UTC. On the agenda today are just a few items that I'd like to suggest for us to look at. First, review the final document to resolve any outstanding comments that may exist there. Second, I want to look at the responses to community document as well, and review responses and see if there is anything that has to be changed on that. Third, I want to have a look at the new swim lanes graphic, make sure we're okay with that. Fourth, just a very brief touch on the document name and what we want to do there. And finally, next steps. Are there any other agenda items that you'd like to see added? Hearing none.
This is Crocker. Can you hear me? This is Steve Crocker.
I can hear you.
Oh, good. So I was in a conversation yesterday, and part of the conversation was sort of what's happening with this effort, as if it's necessarily going to continue or expected to continue as feedback comes back. So I was a little puzzled, but it was an interesting sort of expression of expectation. This, we're going to close this up. This is the final call. It goes over to ICANN.org, to Joran and his people. But I thought it was not an unreasonable kind of response that there will be something that happens, and then effectively our group will be asked or expected to do some further work on this. And if not, there's still kind of a hole there. Do you have any sense of that, or do we want to discuss that? Anyway, that's the agenda item.
Thanks, Steve. I'll add that to the agenda, and we'll cover that when we get there. Okay. Any other agenda items being proposed? I hear none. Yvette, could you bring up the current final document?
Ram, if I may, this is Gavin.
Gavin, please.
I did want to just raise the possibility that we may receive a belated response from the contracted parties house. And if we do, we may need to deliberate on the contents of that.
Got it. I'll add that as well, Gavin. Thank you. Give me a moment while I just type these notes in. Okay, so agenda item number 2, I think, is review community response document. The ICANN, RDAP, Gateway, et cetera, we'll do that while we review the final doc. So agenda item number 1 on the, if you see the notes there, you should just change that to review community response doc. And then I would say a new agenda item number 5 is contracted parties house doc. And then new agenda item number 6 is next steps for TSG. Okay.
Hi, Ron. What was number 5? I missed number 5. I'm just doing these here in the UW room.
Contracted parties house document.
Perfect. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Great. So we have the final document up, and for those of you who are in Google Drive, again, I think that's probably the more useful way to go through the document. Let's what I'd really like to do is to drive through all of the comments that remain and to resolve those comments on the document, and then this call we should try to finish the entire document up and say that it's ready to ship. You will note in the document I have changed the date instead of the 23rd. I've changed it to the 29th, just because it seems like we might want to give ourselves this week to go look at whatever changes we need to get to be put in. So when I look at the document I'm on page 5 of the document. Gavin has a replace this with the, and I think that's fine. The next comment is a question from John, and I think it's a question to Elisa. Hyperlinks only, this is on page 6. Hyperlinks only work for electronic versions of the document. Have you changed the internet to make sure that hyperlinks will work in paper copies as well?
That is not what it says.
Hey, Rob.
Elisa, what have you done?
Sure. So I was going to forward this onto our comp team, which is proofreading it, so that they could make sure it conforms to whatever our style is for referencing to hyperlinks and whatnot.
Okay,
and they're proofing it, the document this week.
Okay. Terrific. That takes care of that. The next comments are on page 7. Consensus policies, Elisa says it's in red line for the team to review. And when you say the team to review, this is the TSG team or or a legal team?
The TSG team.
Okay. So you can see what's on the screen, folks, on consensus policies. Are there any comments?
It's kind of indirect when it says various specifically stated procedures. One reaction is, well, sure, it obviously would require compliance with any existing requirements to be redundant. And if it means something stronger or more specific, then we should say that. If one reads that and doesn't know what it's referring to, this is not so helpful.
What would you propose instead?
Well, who suggested that wording and what were they trying to alert everybody to?
The wording came from ICANN.org.
Then tell them to be clear.
Elisa?
Sure. I'm just putting in what page that came from so you can take a look. I just put in an addition to that comment.
That was my suggestion because we were referring to consensus policies, but I was not sure that the reader will know, I mean, everybody will know what a consensus policy means. So my suggestion was to add a definition of what consensus policy means.
Okay, I see the link and I see the direct quote from that page. Scott?
Yes, I'm looking at the definition, and I have to agree with Steve. I mean, defining a consensus policy as a consensus policy doesn't really tell you. And then again, looking at the page, it lists them, but it doesn't really tell you what a consensus policy is. I don't necessarily have alternative wording in mind other than thinking that somewhere on the ICANN website there would be a definition of such a thing already. Am I wrong in that assumption?
Well, there's two different aspects, Scott. One is definition of consensus policies. The other is just before the quoted consensus policies, it says various specifically stated procedures. But so that says whoever wrote that is referring to some set of specifically stated procedures that he knows about, and he kind of implicitly either expects all readers to know about, or it's a trap, like if you don't understand the rules of the game, you'll find out at a particularly awkward time. And this is the words that just alert you, like, we told you so, but of course it doesn't actually educate you as to what those policies are or how they might affect this or I'm sorry, I'm sounding negative, but this is...
I hear you. You're saying it's circular. I mean, someone from the, from the GNSO side, clearly on the GNSO, the way I've always understood consensus policy is that it's a policy that is developed from the community as a result of a PDP, a policy development process, which is a well-defined chartered process inside of ICANN, and that PDP arrives at a set of recommendations. And those go in front of the GNSO Council, and the GNSO Council votes on them and adopts those policies, then those are considered a consensus policy which has a binding effect on contracted parties. So that's the,
understood.
That's the operational understanding of it. It's not, I agree with you that that's not what's reflected here. So maybe this is an action for you, Elisa, to go back to, I think this has to go back to the appropriate people on the ICANN side, on the org side, to come back with a more specific definition of consensus policy. And maybe we need both consensus policy and another definition of consensus policy process.
Ram, I'm pushing on the other half of the conjunction. There's an and that precedes the with. And preceding the and is various specifically stated procedures. And that is like a separate branch.
I was addressing that, Steve, by saying we need a separate line, that says consensus policy procedures.
Well, but if you just drop... Not that I'm suggesting you do this, but if you just dropped that whole portion and ended with procedures, you would still be unclear what the various specifically stated procedures are.
Understood.
So I think there's two things to clarify. One is, what are these various specifically stated procedures that are being alluded to, but not... with no pointer as to what they are or how they might affect this. I mean, the nightmare scenario is that there are specifically stated procedures that effectively obviate our whole effort. I don't think that's true, but the way that's written, there's no clarity as to why those specifically stated procedures, why there's a reference to specifically stated procedures in this context, and I think that's important to convey.
Okay, fair enough. Elisa, I think you have the notes, and I think the action goes to you as well.
Yeah, I can follow up on that and see if we can find some better language I can share with the group as soon as possible.
I mean, somebody who wrote that had something in mind, and I think it'd be good to share that, as opposed to just putting in words that reserve the prerogative without explaining sort of what's lurking behind it.
Right.
Might be straightforward. Just need to have it clarified.
Okay. I think that that we have clear action on. Let's go to page number 8. John has a question on whether non-caching reverse proxy is deserving of a definition.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at that, and it's having a definition with something like that in there is one of these things where I wonder how useful that is. If they don't know what that is.
Well, I guess the text, part of which is visible and part of which isn't, immediately prior to that is the definition, and they're basically giving a name to it by referring to it as a non-caching reverse proxy. Can you scroll down just a tiny bit so we can see the full paragraph?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
See what I was looking at. Where is it? I've lost track. Where's the, I don't think I have scroll privileges. Where is this non-canceling?
It's at the top of page 8.
I'm not, I should, but I'm there we go. Okay. Can you roll down just like 5 lines or something?
So you want to go to page 7. Yeah, there you go.
That's fine. Right there. Fine. Nope.
The other way. You want to, yeah, 7 and 8.
Right. Stop. Yeah. And
Gavin says Wikipedia has a good definition. Could be adopted right from there.
The funny term, reverse proxy.
It's a well-used term. I mean, I have been reading that term since years ago. So probably the tech people will know what it's about. But yeah, I agree. We should add some definition in the glossary.
I see the definition that Gavin has copied into the chat. I'm okay with this.
So the action is to add a definition and to use the Wikipedia definition. Is that right? Okay. So that's an action for Elisa to put in. Next is a comment. ICANN browser-based RDAP client. Gustavo, you added this, right? Both that and the ICANN browser-based web portal.
Correct. I think that we're missing those definitions in the glossary.
Any comments on those two definitions?
This is basically just says that there'd be a browser, there'd be an app, there'd be a service you could reach with your browser, which would then initiate RDAP-based queries. That's the intent of this?
Correct.
For how's that different from the next thing that says ICANN browser-based web portal? I guess I'm now confused as to what the distinction is between browser-based RDAP client and the browser-based web portal. Those two things, I read those as being the same.
So the RDAP client is to basically do RDAP queries using web browser, and the other one is for the exceptional request.
That's the distinction. And would those be different in – those would be different, but they're both web-based portals, basically.
Correct. But in the document, we refer them as different things.
I'm just wondering if the terminology should be aligned so that the relationship between those two things is clearer. In the title, it's clear now that I understand the supporting words there, but
Steve, you ready to move on? Okay, next comment is public data and this consensus policy. I think, Gustavo, that's already been handled up top, so I don't think we need to spend any time on this. Next comment is on page 11. And on page 11, Gustavo is asking for RFC 4033, are we trying to say DNS stack? Scott, do you want to respond to that?
Sure, because I remember making this edit. The text used to say DNSSEC, and I remember thinking it looks odd because the sentence says RFC 7525, which is not DNSSEC. It's like appropriate use of TLS or something, DNSSEC, and other secure protocols. And I thought, well, if we're going to describe these either by name or by RFC, let's be consistent in how we do it. So...
Probably want to be not only consistent but relatively complete, and I noticed that too as I read through it. RFC 4033 is part of a triplet, I believe. That's 4034, 4034, and 4035. And many succeeding RFCs.
Yep.
Which is why it says and other appropriate secure protocols.
No, that at a different level. I'm talking about within DNSSEC, there are a whole series of succeeding.
I understand that, but I'm trying to say, I think Scott's using 4033 as a stalking horse for the set, rather than listing exhaustively every RFC that has to do with 4033 or every RFC that has to do with TLS.
I would, if I were going to do this, I would list the protocol and then put in parentheses RFC. I would say DNSSEC parentheses RFC 4033, comma, et cetera, or to be a little more formal, ET space SEQ or something. And I would do that for each of the protocols that you're explicitly mentioning, and then you could say additional protocols. So there's two levels of description, the protocols and then the RFCs.
Scott?
I mean, what Steve just described is typically how it's done in RFCs, right? You list the title, followed by the citation for the reference. So, okay, I see, Ram, you've got a type-in pointer there. Do you have the title there?
I haven't done anything. I just have the type-in pointer. That's all. I'm going to, if we do this, I'm going to leave it in your hands to make the edits rather than me make the edits.
Okay. Well,
I was coming to you to ask whether you're okay with that, because if you're okay with it, then you will get the task to do it.
Isn't this something that the ICANN copy editor ought to do?
No, I think this is something that we ought to do, and then the copy editor should review.
I'll do it.
We have the actual knowledge on our team, Steve. I don't think the ICANN copy editor. If they get it wrong, we're on the hook.
I'm with you.
Well, if you want to hang on here a second, I'll take care of it. All right, so there's the first one. Here comes the second. Oops.
All right, how's that?
Works for me. Any objections? All right.
But I do see something else here, Ram. Just the sentence starts out following recommendations in recommendations four. So I'm going to suggest striking, say, following recommendations in like that.
Yep.
Yeah, and I like Gavin's suggested replacement of appropriate with applicable.
Okay. Next comment is on but before you go to the comment, can you go to figure 2, page 17? Diana, that's an before that, I take that back. Can we go to page 9, please? Go to figure 1 on page 9. Diana, these are the upgraded graphics, right?
Yes, there are three updated graphics in the document, Ron.
Right. So are we good with this figure, folks? It's just, you know, it just makes it look better. It's not, the content hasn't changed. I just want to make sure we explicitly go through the change. Okay, no trouble with figure one. Let's go to figure two, which is at the top of page number 17. Take a moment to look at this.
Is there any way to make it bigger and wording bigger? It's a little on the small size. So you're just projecting it bigger, but I'm talking about it in the document.
Yeah, I'm changing it in the document.
Oh, good.
I think that's about the largest is going to go in the document in portrait form.
That'll look pretty good in portrait form.
Okay, good. We're done with figure two. Let's keep scrolling. The next comment is on page 19. Ten 10.2, Gustavo suggests replacing ICANN org staff with sentient human being. No, just human being. About an individual.
That works for me.
Okay. Next is, instead of CP RDAP services, should it be CP RDAP servers? Gustavo says yes. Okay. Page 20. Elisa has a question. Elsewhere, we state this is an OAuth term of art, and right in this instance, the relying party would be the ICANN access service. So should we say ICANN access service instead of relying party here? The RDAP gateway description.
Yeah, Scott here. I think that'd be okay.
Any objections? No objections. So, change this to say okay. All right. Next comment is on page 21. Elisa says it's not a defined term. Scott says it's defined in 2.1. Any further discussion?
Seems I missed that. Thanks,
Authorization.
Scott.
Authorization endpoint. That's resolved. Next. Optional access token. Elisa says it's not. Does it need to be capitalized? And Gustavo points to where optional actually is a kind of a defined term. I think that resolves that question. Same thing for the next optional as well. Now let's go to the new graphic, the updated swim lanes chart. Diana, thank you very much for taking the time and the effort to put that together. This required a little bit of work. I have only one comment on, this is on page 23. I have only one comment on this one. And Yvette, I'm wondering if you could just blow this up full screen so that people can see it, those who are not accessing it on Google Drive.
Yvette, can you pull up the PDF that I sent you, please?
The PDF is on screen. Are you guys seeing it that I projected on there? Is that showing up?
It is. So, a couple of things. One comment that I had was when I see it in the document itself, I wonder whether just that page, just page 23, should be formatted landscape so that the flows can be, you know, elongated a little bit more as compared to how it is right now. Because the swim lanes are fairly short in a portrait mode. That's the one question that I had. Other than that, again, just for the team, the content here is identical to the content that was earlier there. It's just an upgraded, actual diagram. Any comments?
I agree with you.
Okay.
I can't quite see. Oh, what's at the bottom of this page? Can somebody scroll down so we see the whole page?
There's a little bit more at the very bottom.
And you're not going to change the orientation. You're just changing the orientation of the page, so that it would
right,
be wider.
Exactly.
But it would then, of course, it wouldn't be as deep, and so that might raise some issues with respect to the material that is vertical at the moment. So, mixed feelings about all that. Might be worse.
Okay. Why don't we zoom
out so we see the whole page.
It might get kind of small.
Yvette, can,
well,
you,
that's okay.
Can you show it in the Google Drive doc that you can see it in context with the rest of the text?
Here. Okay, here it is in the Google Drive doc. Do you want me to shrink it a little bit?
Yeah, I think it'd be great if you could shrink it a little bit so we can see it along with.
So it would flow from this page, and then this is what it would look like here.
Right. Yeah, this is what I wanted. So now you see the document occupying the entire page. And what I'm thinking, or what I'm thinking for the ICANN folks to look at, is whether just page 23 goes landscape.
The problem is that if you go landscape, you get more horizontal space, but you lose the vertical space, and you're using all of the vertical space as it is.
I'm kind of a Steve.
My sense is that if you went, to landscape, you'd have a tendency to also rotate the diagram by 90 degrees, and you'd use the space in precisely the same way, except the orientation would be different. But I don't think. I'm not sure you can make an improvement.
Okay. All right, we'll leave well enough alone then. We leave this. Any comments on the diagram itself, on the new figure 3? None. Diana, thank you again. That was I'm glad it came through in time. Let's go to page 24. Gustavo has a question. And Yvette, you have to get you're already on it. Gustavo?
Yeah, I was thinking if we were trying to say in contrast to the retention of login data instead of requestor data. I think the login data encompass what we're trying to say in that sentence.
Any comments? No comments. So I'm assuming that means there's no objection to changing requester data to logging data. Okay. Next comment. Is on page number 29. And Elisa asks, why is a service level requirement and not service level agreement?
So a service level agreement
now,
is
what do you
like
want to respond?
Yeah, sure. A service level agreement is, as the name indicates, an agreement, right? But the actual requirements for each service is normally called service level requirements in the service level agreement. So I'm just trying to use terminology that is used in the industry.
So this is Ram. From my point of view, I think the important distinction or the important point we're trying to make is that there ought to be service level agreement. I think that's the critical thing we're trying to say. Service level agreements are implemented using service level requirement, but the idea, Gustavo, is if there was an agreement that is a commitment, not just a requirement.
And we say that in 11.2 and all over the document, but I think that a policy will describe or create service level requirements, right? And once we have the service level requirements from a policy, I can or someone else will negotiate a service level agreement based on those requirements. Because that sentence is a policy describing service level.
Okay.
I think that's a requirement.
I see what you're saying. I'm good with this change. Anyone else who objects? Lisa, does that respond to your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
All right. Let's continue scrolling down, going towards the bottom of the document here. Okay. I think we are done with everything in the document. There was a question that came to me on Appendix 2, page 34, team composition, whether team members wanted to have a link to either their corporate website or if they have their own bio page, or they wanted to have a link to it. I'm indifferent to it, but I wanted to just pose it to you folks. Gavin?
Sorry, Ron. My hand is unrelated to this particular point.
Ah, okay. Why don't we come to you in just a moment? Let's just resolve this question. What do folks think about links either to individual bio pages or links to the employer's corporate page? Gavin says he doesn't mind. Okay. Aliza, will you add the links, please?
Sure.
Thank you. All right, Gavin, back to you.
Thank you, Ron. Yes. So there were a couple of suggested changes to the document that I wasn't quite able to get in before we moved on to the next the next comment. So on page 8, I've added I made a small change to the definition for reverse proxy and because the description that came from Wikipedia does refer just to a reverse proxy, and what I did was I clarified that, and then I've added a definition of what a non-caching reverse proxy is below it, which simply says that it's a reverse proxy which does not store copies of resources in a local cache, but fetches them anew from the origin server every time it receives a request from a client.
I'm fine with that. Any other comments? No other comments. Okay.
And then there was one other minor change I made, which I have now lost. I think someone's actually just gone in and implemented that change, which was just to where we changed the wording about identity provider and authorization service. I just put the plural in parentheses at the end to allow the possibility of there being more than one, because obviously we have models where there can be multiple. I can't find where that was, but that's been done. Someone's come in and pick the tick. So there was nothing else.
Got it. Thank you. Aliza?
Yes, thanks, Ram. I had a question on, on ICANN RDAP gateway. I just wanted to confirm that was the terminology we were going to use. When we get into the response to community comments, there was a comment where we dropped RDAP from ICANN access service. And first we discussed dropping RDAP from ICANN RDAP gateway.
Correct.
But I just wanted to confirm that, because it's also
right.
In one of our
just to,
so ICANN
yeah,
RDAP
just to resolve any, thank you, Aliza. Just to resolve any confusion, we've had lots of discussions on this, but we made a decision last week that we would call this the ICANN access service, and that we would call it the ICANN RDAP gateway. So let's just focus on ICANN RDAP gateway. You're asking for confirmation that it's going to stay ICANN RDAP gateway rather than ICANN gateway, correct?
Yes, just so it's consistent in the document.
Yeah. That's my recollection. That's what we should be using, ICANN RDAP gateway.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. That concludes this document. Yvette, if you could bring up the community response doc. I saw Gavin, you'd already looked at it and you'd sent a response saying you were fine with it. I have looked at the document, but I think Elisa wrote the original document. I made the set of primary edits to the document. From my point of view, this document is ready to go, and our intent is that we will publish this document along with the main the TSG 1 document as well. I'm not going to scroll through this document line by line. If you have any comments, please make them directly on the Google Drive. I'm just bringing it up so that you know that this is also going out. And Yvette, if you can just scroll down briefly all the way to the end of the document so people can see what we've done. You know, we've taken each commenter, written comment, we've parsed each comment, and then we provided the TSG response to those comments. And Elisa is going to make sure that there is a link to the original comment also available so that if somebody wants to read the original comment letter in full, that's going to be made available. Thank you, Yvette. So let's go to item number 4. We've had a small conversation about the name of the document. I started off with TSG 001, but you know, I saw a couple of others coming back and saying maybe it should just be TSG 1. So I'm fine. I'm going to propose. So we have right now it says TSG 01. We could make this TSG 1. And what I also think has to be added now in the document is somewhere, and I'll own the pen on this, is a brief paragraph that talks about how we, you know, the naming here, and that there is not an ICANN standard nomenclature for naming technical, you know, documents or output from technical documents. And so we're adopting this, and we hope that there will, that ICANN.org will continue to work on this area, and that, you know, there'll be lack of ambiguity about document names. I don't want to make it a commentary on ICANN. I want to just make it a commentary on why we named it this way and what future work might remain to be done in that area.
Let me ask a question.
All right.
Prefix TSG followed by the serial number. Are you expecting that there will be a TSG 002 that prefix will be used?
Exactly. That's exactly right, Steve. I'm expecting that, you know, when EPDP, the new group forms, or when the policy work is done, I anticipate that there might be a new technical study group created. And that for non-public registration data, and they might come up with an output, and I'm hoping that that output will then be the next serial order. But theoretically, there might be other technical study groups created for other topics as well, and those, in my mind, those should just follow this serial order model.
Yeah, that was exactly the question I was going to ask. So, even though the individual study groups don't have any continuity, the concept of technical study groups, you think, might take root and flower, and so there'd be a sequence of documents. So just thinking about, you know, if you line these up with, say, SSAC or RSAC or ALAX documents, those have continuity because it's the same organization, even though the subject matter moves around. Here, you have kind of a virtual organization that gets re-embodied periodically, but the nexus is that they're, each of them are all lowercase technical study groups.
That's right.
Might say that.
And I'm trying to create that as a model inside of ICANN. It doesn't exist really, and I think it's useful to give these things names, because otherwise, you know, you run into the problem of how do you refer to the output of something from 5 years ago?
Well, you know that I am deeply supportive of that, and ICANN has been a little sluggish about rising to the challenge. I'm okay with that. Let me recommend that sort of on the inside front cover or somewhere in the preface or whatever, that the discussion we've just had, including that this is numbered as if there may be other technical study groups that may or may not have the same subject matter but have sort of the same structure of being focused on some technical topic, and hence this is intended to be a first in a series like that. Just as a useful explanation to put somewhere.
Right.
Not
that's
part
exactly
of the main part of our document. It's, yeah.
Right. That's exactly what I thought I would do. And in my mind, I was thinking that would be 2.2. Because section 2 is about conventions used in this document. And I thought 2.2 could be just a brief section on, you know, naming, you know, of the document or something like that.
Yeah.
I own the pen on that. Okay. Gavin, you wanted to speak briefly about upcoming comments from the CPH?
Yes. I just wanted to raise this. So I understand that the Contracted Parties House may submit a set of comments on our draft report at some point in the near future. Obviously, those comments will require some careful consideration, and at this point, we haven't scheduled any time to review them as a group. Obviously, the plan is for this document to be done as of the end of this meeting, so 3 minutes and 30 seconds from now. I just wanted to raise this as a possible, I mean, what do we do if the contracted parties do produce some comments that need our consideration and deliberation? Do we need to think about another call and then pushing things out by a potentially week or 2 weeks?
Thanks, Gavin. My perspective, a couple of data points to share on this. One is, I spoke briefly with Donna, who is the chair of the registry constituency, and my indication is that the revised document aimed at us is likely to be supportive of our work and not potentially not have substantive comments about the technical work that we've done. That's the high level, but we have to see the document to actually see what it is, number one. Number two, if there are substantive technical things for us to go look at, then yes, I think we do need to get another call together and see if those comments warrant a review. And my thought is that before that, once the comments come through, I'm going to ask if we can get a subgroup here, and I'm going to ask if it could be Gavin, yourself, and Scott, and Jody, if the three of you could get together to review the Contracted Parties House document to see if that has any substantive, that demands any substantive changes for us to make. Then you could make that as a suggestion into the TSG, and that'll decide whether we need another call or we need to revise the document or not. Does that sound like a reasonable plan?
Yeah, that sounds reasonable to me, and I'm happy to participate.
Okay. Scott, you okay with that?
Yep.
Okay, Jody's also okay. John, you had a hand raised?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I've also had discussions with Donna and Brian and others, and I think from their initial letter, and I think some of the confusion has been cleared up in what we've done in the new document. So I'm hoping that there's not much actually left for them to comment on, but we shall see.
Okay, great. Thanks, John. Last item on the agenda, you know, what kind of happens to our work stream? We are about to wrap up our work. Thanks, Scott. Take care. Good to work with you. Goodbye. We're about to wrap up our work. We're expecting to publish everything next Monday, the 29th, along with a blog post, etc., that goes along with it. And if there are comments that come from the community, then I expect that once the comments come through, my suggestion is that Elisa, Diana, John, Gustavo, Francisco, you know, the ICANN org folks are going to be the keeper of the flame on this one, and collect and collate the comments. And if, in your opinion, those comments are deserving of the TSG being reconstituted or coming back out of being dormant to take a quick look, we can do that. But my thought process, and this is what I've mentioned to Yoran, is that we will formally stay alive until after the ICANN Marrakesh meeting in the end of June. You know, we have no more meetings, really no more work after this call is done, unless we have an explicit ask from ICANN.org saying, you know, some substantive comments have come in, can you take a look, in which case we would regroup. We have no intention of meeting face-to-face in Marrakesh. We have, but we'll keep that as an open option in case we have to regroup and then, you know, publish a revised version. It might be, it may be necessary, who knows. So that's where my head's at. But I think that post Marrakesh, I think the end of June, in my mind, June 30th, TSG will disband. This TSG will disband. And, we will no longer be really, directly available as a common group, unless I hear otherwise from Yoran. Does that address your question earlier raised, Steve?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Are there any other topics?
Nope, we're over time.
Okay, we're done. Well done, folks. Thank you very much.
Thank you all. A total pleasure.
Thank you, everyone. Goodbye.